Now, speaking of John Harbaugh, are you guys ready?
For
what, you ask? Well, it has been established by many, by a listener yesterday and by many others on social media, that John Harbaugh sounds very similar to former President Joe Biden.
Yes.
And we expressed that yesterday on the program. And Sean did a good job. He found a couple of random Joe Biden clips, John Harbaugh clips.
Yeah. But he missed the Cody Bellinger stuff, but
yeah,
it's okay.
Right. And then the Cody Bellinger story broke.
Can't make it up.
And so I said to you guys, we got to do a deeper dive on John Harbaugh and Joe Biden. And I cannot take credit for this. One of the guys who does a great job behind the scenes, his name is Andrew Kaplan. He is awesome. Put together a little package. It's a package of Joe Biden and John Harbaugh. So for everybody out there who's like unsure if they sound alike, we're about to present it to you. But I do want to give you guys a warning. This is not political.
Yes. This is not an indication of his political bend either.
This doesn't mean Biden's the best or the worst, or Harbaugh's the best or the worst, or Harbaugh's a liberal or whatever. It's just that they sound alike. Wanted to get that off my chest so everybody's good. Ladies and gentlemen, the coach and the former president.
It's just going to take time. This is July.
You know how it is. I mean, every single game is tough. Every single season is like a lifetime, you know.
These are gigantic packages to deal with a gigantic problem we inherited. And the vast majority of the American people and a lot of people really involved don't even know what's inside the packages.
I think he's done a phenomenal job. I just look at the numbers, and he's a lot of fun to work with. I think the guys are going to really love him.
Look, we've had meat inspection for 100 years ago. The meatpacking companies didn't like it. Automobile safety 50 years ago.
Everything has been absolutely positive. Ask him; he'll tell you. I mean,
right.
We love each other. We tell each other we love each other. I mean, he's one of my favorite human beings.
I don't like him; I love him, and I it's a mutual thing. We've had each other's backs, and I'll be there for him anything he ever wants.
You can't deny it anymore.
Yeah. I got confused. I'm like, wait, who am I listening to? I was like, I got to really listen to the content of this. We're talking about the meatpackers.
Yeah.
That's probably not John Harbaugh.
They sound exactly alike. And now you can never unhear that.
No, it's going to be ingrained forever.
Well done, Cap.
Great job, Cap. Yes. That was fantastic work, because I think as much as I say it, or you say it, or you hear Harbaugh, you got to hear it back to back, and then it is an undeniable thing that they are voice doppelgangers.
Yeah. Well, listen, Cap is the best at doing that. Somebody like me can't handle it.
They don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
I'm glad you're able to set that up for yourself.
Thank you.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019, the number. Let's go to Matt in Chester. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, Matt.
Hey. Afternoon, guys. I heard about the trade that rolled through with Peralta last night. And the thing that actually drives me completely crazy about the trade is that I don't know if I should like the trade. And it extends to the entire Mets offseason. Like, everything has a caveat or an asterisk. And I understand that Stearns is probably brilliant, sees these things way better than I ever will. But, like, Alonso, okay, I can accept Alonso leaving. But who do you sign? A guy who's never played first before.
Right.
And then we go ahead and we get Bichette. I love Bichette. He's an amazing player. But we signed him to play third, and he's gone. We're paying him to opt out after a season. And then we go ahead and we get Louis Robert Jr. And, you know, like, okay, he's an excellent outfielder, but sometimes it looks like he can't even see the baseball when he's at the plate. And then we have to move Beatty. Beatty finally had a great season. Now he doesn't have a position. And now Peralta, yes, no one is doubting or saying that he's not a great pitcher. But the fact of the matter is, these guys don't sign pitchers long term. And then these kids that we've heard about for so long, yes, we have other prospects coming, but these guys have the look of like something special, and it's the entire off season. And like, yes, this stuff could be great, but it could be absolute garbage at the end of the day, and it's driving me nuts.
I think that's well said, because you're also admitting that you're confused. And I think that as a Met fan, confusion is a fair answer to this off season. And I've heard so much in the last 24 hours about apologize to David Stearns. He knows what he's doing. We're all idiots. Masterclass this. And I can't say all that.
No.
Now, I'm not saying David Stearns is an idiot either, but I'm saying that this team is so different and there's still lots of questions. They're just different questions. So I'll give you a brief example of that confusion that I have. this rotation is clearly better adding a guy like Freddie Peralta. This bullpen now features a closer who, while he was elite 2 years ago, appeared broken at times last year. And this is a franchise whose history has been littered with unreliability in the ninth inning in a big spot. And we finally had that answer. And now here comes Devin Williams, who Yankee fans could tell you a song about. And he's the guy who needs to get the final out if the Mets are winning a world championship.
Yeah, exactly. And then you throw in Luke Weaver, who 2 years ago, two seasons ago, was fantastic for the Yankees in a closer role. And then last year couldn't find himself. So it's like it's almost Luke Weaver I'm talking about. It almost feels like the Mets are, it's in a hope mode. Like, let's just hope that Devin Williams turns back to who he was pre-injury in Milwaukee. Let's just hope Luke Weaver as a setup man is what he was 2 years ago, not what we immediately just saw. Let's just hope that Jorge Polanco, despite never doing it, but got a crash course before he was shipped off, is a good first baseman. So can we replace the bats? Can we replace the production? I don't know, but we're going to hit for average.
Well, right? I
and so it's like, yeah, that's fantastic. But if you're not winning, what's the point?
I asked you guys this question yesterday, and I'm saving it for the end of the season. And that is, hey, the Mets were, I think it was sixth in the National League in runs scored. I forget.
Mm-hmm.
Will they score more runs? Very simple question. Is this offense going to score more runs? I don't care if the batting average is higher. I don't care if they get less home runs. Bottom line is, it's about scoring runs. I don't care how you do it.
Right.
I don't care. Are you going to score more runs? And you thought about it and said, nah. And Sean thought about it and said, yeah, because it's baseball and it doesn't make sense. That's a really important question in determining the Mets' success this upcoming season. They going to score more runs? Now, I'll tell you, their lineup is completely different.
Yeah.
You know what David Stearns deserves credit? Masterclass, which is such an overused term, and you started it. It was your fault. No, it was, because you brought it up with some contract.
I brought it up with
Joe Shane.
No.
Yes.
With
who?
The Masterclass?
You brought up Masterclass,
yeah.
And now I hear everyone say it. It's you.
DeGrom. So it was back even farther.
That's true.
It was a Masterclass on how to get rid of an icon.
That's true.
A team icon. How to get rid of them. That was exactly what they, because they didn't want them.
You're right. You said it about DeGrom leaving, and you said it about one of the contracts that Shane gave out. It was a good one, so
yeah.
I'm not ridiculing you. I mean, Andrew Thomas, when he extended Andrew Thomas?
Yeah, I think it was.
It's like, that's a Masterclass in contracts. I'm like, Masterclass?
Right. It's like, seeing it before it happens.
It's the new term that pisses me off. Like, everything is a masterclass. Here's where David Stearns had his masterclass. I don't know if it's good or not. He has completely changed the New York Mets. And we're going to find out if it's good or not, but there is no doubt that this is a completely different team. And I'm going to hold out hope by using history. So, Jacob DeGrom, this is not Stearns' fault, but I just want to give you the big picture.
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom, legend with this team, gone. Pete Alonso, becoming a legend with this team, gone. Brandon Nimmo, lifelong Met, gone. Well, I'll one-up you. DeGrom's great. He's no Randy Johnson. And in 1998, the Mariners sent him packing.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Griffey Jr., I'm sorry, Brandon.
Right.
You are not Ken Griffey Jr. In 2000, the Mariners sent him packing. Alex Rodriguez.
Right.
He ain't no Pete Alonso, vice versa. The Mariners sent him packing. And the first year the Mariners had without three all-time great players, A-Rod, Griffey, and Randy Johnson, when they were all gone, you know what the first year was? It was 2001. Do you know what the Mariners did in 2001? Besides lose to the Yankees in the ALCS?
Go to the ALCS.
They won 114 games.
Yeah.
And so that's the hope that even though Mariner fans, I'm sure, were devastated that a first ballot Hall of Famer and Randy Johnson was traded away and then signed elsewhere, and as upset as they were that a generational Ken Griffey Jr. was traded away, and as much as they were upset that A-Rod walked out that door, I'm pretty sure that in 2001, until they played the Yankees, they felt pretty good about themselves. So I don't know why I brought that up.
Made you feel better, though, didn't
it? Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah.
This hope season could turn into something that's meaningful.
Yes.
That's why you brought that up. Because the reality is, it feels the same. You got rid of so many iconic pieces of this team. Or not iconic, because Pete was. Maybe Edwin Diaz to an extent.
Yeah, include Diaz. I apologize for not bringing him up.
But there were pieces that you were so familiar with, and it felt like they needed to be here in order for you to win a championship, or gone. Now you have to believe that there still is a shot.
Now just remember this. If the Mets win 114 games but lose in the NLCS in five, we're going to be really pissed off. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Probably even more angry because it's 114 games.
I know. And then, by the way, don't see the playoffs for two decades.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the Mariners' script. That's their script. Their script is, we lost these three iconic players. We had a historic regular season. We got bounced out by the Yankees. What else is new? And, oh, by the way, we didn't see the playoffs for two decades.
Which means your J-Rod will be being born, like, right about now.
Yeah.
if that's
really,
sinking.
If you really want to bring it full circle. Gabe is in Wayne, New Jersey. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Tiki, you were talking about hope as a strategy. I just wanted to bring up another team that's relying pretty heavily on hope as a strategy. They also play in New York. It's the New York Yankees. I'm not going to complain about running it back or anything like that.
Right.
I did want to talk about, though, like with the rotation, I would argue that they absolutely need to trade for another starting arm, and here's why.
Because that is hope. So, that is hope that those guys are right.
Exactly. So that's the big thing, right? Look at the rotation as it currently stands, right? It's going to be Fried, Schlittler, Warren, Weathers, and Heel to start off the season. Fried's coming off of a career-high innings pitch. Schlittler's coming off a career-high innings pitch. He's going to have to pitch even more this year to get them through to the middle of the season.
Right.
Will Warren has been historically pretty shaky. Weathers has pitched in 24 games over the past two seasons. And Luis Heel has a combination of control and injury issues, right? So that's just for starters. But then talk about the guys who are coming back. Gerrit Cole and Clark Schmidt are coming back from Tommy John surgery. Does anybody remember how Sandy Alcantara came back from Tommy John surgery? What he looked like?
He was bad for two-thirds of the season. He was bad.
Would you like to imagine that we're going to get Cy Young, Gerrit Cole again coming off the surgery like no big deal? So it's a great trade deadline acquisition. So I think that there's a lot of vulnerability here in this rotation. It's really relying heavily on the fact that these guys are not only going to be just as good as they have been, but even better, potentially, to get us through the entire year. We didn't lose in the playoffs because of our hitting.
Right.
We lost in the playoffs because of our pitching.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, Max Fried was throwing batting practice.
Yeah.
Keep this in mind about guys coming off Tommy John surgery. For every Sandy Alcantara, there's Justin Verlander, who came back from Tommy John surgery and literally won the Cy Young. So it's not an exact science. So I definitely would have caution. I would definitely have caution that there's no certainty on what he's going to be. But everybody comes back from it differently. Look at DeGrom. DeGrom came back from it not as the same dominant player, but pretty good.
He
had a pretty good year last year.
Right.
So I can't assume he's Sandy Alcantara. Zach Wheeler really had issues off Tommy John as well, to the fact where he missed a second season, then came back and was awful, then was pretty good, and then he was off and running. So sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it's immediate.
Yeah, it's a physicality thing. It's what's your body makeup. Do you fall apart in other places because you haven't done this in a while? And if you're strong enough, you're fine. Because I think that's what the Verlander thing. He's a bull.
That's why I think Cole's going to be fine. If I had to make a prediction, and it's so, how do you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Gerrit Cole, when he comes back, not sure when, not sure innings limits,
right.
All that's fair. I think he's going to pitch well.
No, I think you're right. Because he feels like just, I'm man.
Yeah.
I'm going to be fine.
Gabe is in San Francisco. Hey, Gabe.
Hey, fellas. Hey, two-part question regarding scouting. So regarding the actual technicalities of it or logistics, and then the worldwide talent pool. So I think the Giants wasn't it a guy named Mark Ross, I believe, that worked for Jerry Reese? Am I correct?
Yeah.
Was like the director of scouting?
Right.
Okay. So with Coach Harbaugh coming in, and he has his type of football players, how does it work with – does he hire a new director, or do we keep the current scouts? How does that work?
No, I assume the scouts are going to stay the same. They're all under Joe Shane. That was one of the things that Joe Shane did when he came here in 2022, even though it took a year for it to happen, where he evaluated the scouting department, and then he made it over in some regards. And primarily, it was with the analytics and the digitization of the process that he brought in. You even heard John Harbaugh say it when he talked about the computerization of analytics. It was a question that Sean asked about how much he was going to dig into analytics. That was obviously talking about in-game analytics, but I think what he was alluding to was also analyzing players and how we attract free agents and, you know, what does the draft look like? All of that is something that Joe Shane revolutionized. It's interesting because while you all as fans, not me, looked at Joe Shane and you had this like negative bend towards him, almost everybody that interviewed for the New York Giants this offseason liked Joe Shane, right? They all liked what he brings and who he is as a general manager, because it's different than that old school, I watched guys play since I was, you know knee high to a tractor trailer tire. You know what I mean? It's like, no, that's not football anymore. That's not sport anymore. Right. And I think Joe has brought it to the new millennium in so many different ways. And I think coaches appreciate that.